I mix what I like.
Yeah.
The kickback is being incredible.
I mix what I like.
So joining the program now is, quite honestly, folks, one of my favorite drummers, and as I'm quickly finding out, one of my favorite people. And I want to welcome to the program right now Billy Kilson. And for those who don't know, Billy Kilson has had a long career as a drummer. He comes out of Washington, D.C. in Maryland. And as we were just talking about, we have a deep connection to Morgan State University. I came to know Billy's work as a drummer probably later when you started working with the Dave Holland Quintet.
And then went backwards
to catch up to all of your previous and then subsequent work as well. Want to invite people to follow up on this conversation and more. They can go to BillyKilson.com and learn more about him. And as I've just learned myself, you can sign up to get virtual drumming lessons, I see, on your website as well.
Yes, you can.
So one of my favorite things about the web, because just a quick aside, I noticed that Go-Go Mickey has done the same thing with his website, so people can get Go-Go drumming lessons, percussion lessons from the legend himself. So I love that this is happening. Okay. This is one of the best benefits of the internet. But anyway, Billy Kilson, first of all, man, thank you very much for joining us, and welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm honored, Dr. Bell. And, like, you know, we spoke earlier. You allowed me to call you Jared.
Yeah, please call me Jared.
You earned that, doctor. You worked very hard. So, you know, I'm honored that you're going to say I'm allowed to call you Jared.
So, oh, yeah, of course, man. Fine, of course. Man. No, so Billy Kilson was kind enough. You know, first of all, I need to let folks know that who are going to hear this interview on WPFW 89.3 in Washington, D.C., that I first heard Billy Kilson's drumming on the, I believe it's called Metamorphos track with the Dave Holland Quintet.
Wow.
And it was that track that actually really turned me on to, because it was your drumming that drew my attention to that track as much as anything else. And as a wannabe former drummer myself, you know, that is where I'm always drawn. I should have mentioned that too. I was briefly a funk drummer. Shout out to Mama's Biscuits, Frostburg State
That's
University.
Right. All right.
And so I've always gravitated to the drums and to drummers. And when I see a band play, I want to watch the drummer. And what prompted this reaching out to you, Billy Kilson, was, and I appreciate your willingness to come on and do this, was the film Whiplash that just came out and has won a number of awards, and I think deservedly so. I really enjoyed the film in many ways, in part because it's focused on the drums, it's focused on drumming, and jazz drumming in particular, which, as you can talk to more than, you know, certainly more than I can, is, to me, the most advanced form of kit-based drumming, at least. And
absolutely.
But I was disturbed by some aspects of the film. So as much as I loved the film, and I thought the acting was great, I thought the music was great, I thought the focus on the drums was great, it disturbed me that the standard for jazz drumming in the film is Buddy Rich. And no disrespect to Buddy Rich, but I found
I
did find it troubling that he was seen as the standard for jazz drumming, and that people like Max Roach weren't even mentioned in the film. Like, you don't even hear Max Roach's name mentioned. So as something comes out, obviously, of the black experience in the United States and black musicians creating jazz, or what my godfather Tom Porter calls African-American classical music, it seemed that was an inappropriate focus for a film such as Whiplash. But so I thought I would reach out to you and get your opinion as a jazz drummer and an expert and someone who is clearly well-situated to have this conversation, what you thought of the film itself, and then what you think of this critique I have of it centering Buddy Rich and not somebody like a Max Roach or any number of others.
Well, my view is the movie is a movie, if you will. I'm not disagreeing with you, But the movie is a movie, and it's a fictional movie, first of all. I think that you and I should sit together, and after you stop this recording, maybe we should write a movie. And then Max Roach, Art Blakey, Billy Joe Jones, Papa Joe Jones, Shadow Wilson, Kenny Clark, they will be featured.
Okay.
But it's a version. It's a version of a drummer that was seeking, and maybe my view was this drummer, we all have our favorites. My favorite was my teacher, Alan Dawson, but we all have our favorite. And my view was, this was this drummer's favorite. It wasn't so much that, wow, you didn't mention this guy, because I have mixed feelings about the movie. It was very fictional, I thought. And Max Roach is like, when I tweeted you and I said that, well, Max Roach, no doubt, the most melodic drummer. But the thing that I dug about the movie, that more than anything else, we're having a conversation not just about Whiplash itself or the movie. We're talking about a drummer was the star of the movie.
Right.
And it's bringing the drums to the living room of people that never even thought of drums being a musical instrument. That's my biggest thing. It's like, okay, it's on me and on other jazz drummers and yourself to educate the audience. Let's say my son, that, you know, let's say if I never played drums and we watched the movie, and he said, who's that? It's on me and it's on you and I to educate him. Well, Buddy Rich was a jazz drummer, not the jazz drummer. And it's up to us to educate the community on, well, there was more about jazz drumming than just Buddy Rich. That's kind of my view.
No, I hear you. And in part, you know, one of my primary methods of interpreting popular media is to look at the politics and the function media play in a given society. And given my own particular critique of this society, one that is highly bent, you know, based in inequality, that uses media to justify the inequality and the hostility, there's still ongoing antagonism between even just white and black racially in this society, that the movie takes on an added weight, that films and popular media take on more weight than just simply entertainment, that they're a projection of the will and the desired world of those who create it and put it into the world. So yes, I agree, it is on us to educate, and in part that's why I was so happy you were willing to do this interview, so we could try to do some of that educating and responding to things like this.
Absolutely, because I think there's moments like this that we can not critique the movie, and not even, if you will, not to disagree so much with the political aspect or the connotations of the movie, but maybe kind of expand on, like, well, what if? Or what if we did a movie? What if somebody else wrote a movie? And even if it's a, I don't know if that was an independent film or not, but if it was like we could just do a small, I mean, we can take advantage of the web and, you know, the internet right now. I mean, we could do a little snippet on YouTube and say the history of the drums. We could do a half hour and then squash everything, you know.
Well, that would be dope. It would be dope, and it would be great if it was able to rise to the level of prominence that films like Whiplash would. Because where I also struggle with this, that yes, we could do that. We could put something out on the web. It might even become kind of big. But in terms of occupying that dominant space in a collective psyche, it's not gonna be able to compete with a film like Whiplash, or it's gonna be seen only in juxtaposition to a film like Whiplash.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Most jazz musicians I spoke to about it. It's yes, they talked about, you know, they said the same thing you said, you know, how can they talk about Max? But the drummer, the movie was so fictional, it kind of like, it was more about the school and trying to be, I thought about me being in music camps or whatever, because Berkeley was not like that. But in music camp, there would be like two or three drummers, and I thought about the time where I couldn't play in the band. It was Maryland Gifted and Talented at Towson,
yeah, okay.
And I had just started playing drums, and I was the third drummer. I thought about that in the movie. I was the third drummer in the camp, and I wasn't able to be the A drummer. But those two drummers that were the A drummers, I don't know who they are. And I don't even know if they're still playing drums. You know, I don't even know. So the thing is, what I took from even the kid, I mean, you know, it's so fictional, But there were so many other musicians that were there, right. You know, in the band. And I thought, well, feature some of the musicians, because it is a musical instrument we're playing. But I just didn't like, the things I didn't like was, it didn't really, how do I say, not so much Buddy Rich, but it didn't really expose the musical aspect of drumming. Mm. That's the biggest thing I didn't like. It didn't expose, so if it didn't expose, I'm not talking Buddy now. But Buddy was about being, Buddy is probably the best technician on the planet, who was ever the best technician on the planet. And that's what the movie, as far as drumming, was about to me. But if you're going to talk about playing music, playing drums, you would have to go to Max. You have to.
Now, they did mention, a slight correction in what I said, you know, they do mention Joe Jones, only in reference to him throwing a cymbal at Charlie Bird. Charlie right. Parker, rather, to make him become a greater musician. First of all, I did want to ask, is that a true story? Do you know that to be a true story?
I don't know if that is a true story, but it's a beautiful story. And the story is that Charlie Parker, this is before he became Charlie Parker.
Right.
And the story was told to me by a guy named Walter Davis Jr., who was my first time I was ever able to play professionally. And he played with Charlie Parker when he was 17. And so it's funny you mention that. Now, the story is Charlie Parker went to sit in with the I think it was Count Basie. And so he went to sit in and play. And he got lost while he was soloing. So supposedly Papa Joe took the cymbal, unscrewed the cymbal and like threw it at him. He said, man, go shed before you come up on the bandstand. You don't know what you're doing. The rest is history. So at least I got that. And there's a scene in Whiplash, I think, where the guy, the teacher, is saying he wants another Charlie Parker, you know. And so there's some parts there that he's trying to, like, I guess, mold this great musician. But it got lost. It got murky with, you know, the guy's hands bleeding or whatever.
Well, I did, you know, that was one of the things I did. So you thought that the bleeding hands and all that was exaggeration?
Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
Come on, man. I mean, I cut my hand trying to play Papa Joe Max Roach hi-hat now, you know, but I have never, I mean, I've gotten blisters. I've had blisters. Yes, you know, bass players have blisters.
Right.
But my goodness, man, your hands bleeding. I mean, those kind of things. It was so fictional. I mean, come on, man. You remember that one scene where he gets hit by a truck and the car turns over?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gets out of the car and then makes the competition in time and he runs. Come on, man. When he got to that, if I couldn't take that serious, how can I take that this guy is focused on Buddy Rich serious? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't. I mean, if those things, that's what I mean by so fictional. I mean, come on, man. It just went so far, man.
No, that's interesting. You know, but the scene that you were talking about where J.K. Simmons' character, Terrence Fletcher, is trying to teach Miles Teller's character, the lead, the star of the film, the drummer, that he was hard on all of his students because he wanted to encourage them to push themselves and not to settle for whatever level they had already attained. So he was saying that by Joe Jones throwing the cymbal at Parker, it made Parker reflect on what he had done and go study and work harder to become the man he would eventually become. And then he says, he says in that scene, the two most dangerous words in the English language are good job. And I thought that was actually a compelling, it's a line that I struggle with as a parent now. My youngest daughter says she wants to be a drummer, and it's a line, right. You know, what is too hard? What is too much? And I did want to get your opinion on that in terms of, you know, how do you teach, or how were you taught, or what were the best methods?
And I'm not making this up. My son and I just had a conversation about this. Like, he's going to be 12 in a couple of months, and we had a conversation not about Whiplash, but we were talking. I had a very, I don't know why I should say this, but I didn't have a great relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. But however, my teacher, Alan Dawson, was more like a father-like. Now, my father taught me how to be a man, don't get me wrong. But Alan Dawson, I try to pattern myself as being a musician, a man as a musician, after my teacher. And I told my son, my teacher was the most authoritative man outside of my father. He never raised his voice. Alan Dawson never raised his voice. He never yelled at me. He was never condescending. He never made me feel dark. But when he spoke and when he was really upset with me, where he could tell, he could say to me, "Billy, you didn't practice, man. What are you doing? You didn't practice. You're not taking this serious." But his voice would get quieter and quieter and quieter. And that would be so intimidating. That would be so intimidating, man. You know, so when we were talking about, he was talking about, my son was asking me, why do coaches yell? You know, and that's just a different kind of temperament. And the thing is, that's the one thing I didn't like about the movie. And that's what's happening with the younger generation. So the drums are perceived as the most athletic instrument on the bandstand. And the younger generation, it's not their fault, the millennials, if you will, they haven't had a chance to see Max Roach or Jimmy Cobb. Well, Jimmy Cobb's still alive, but they didn't see those guys in their heyday. They didn't get to see Art Blakey. They didn't get to see the finesse of Elvin Jones. They didn't get to see the finesse of Bernard Foyer. They didn't get to see that. And so when you see Frankie Dunlop, and if you see those jazz musicians and how those jazz, and I'm saying jazz musicians as drummers, but they just happen to play drums, but my teacher would say, although it is an athletic instrument, it's a musical instrument, and it's very important that your approach is more of a musical approach to the instrument, not athletic. I was brainwashed in a good way. The whole thing about the drummer, even to any drummers, you know, any jazz drummers before our generation, they're trying to enhance what's happening on the bandstand. That's one thing I didn't get for the movie. It had nothing about, I mean, it's all good. Put the drums up front. I mean, I'm going to be prejudiced now. Yes, you can drum for the star. Absolutely. No more saxophone, no more trumpet, no more guitar, no more piano. Make the drummer, yes. So, like, I can't really dog the movie because it's like, oh, man, I ask people, did you see Whiplash? What is it about? Yeah, I can't wait for them to say, I'll ask them twice, is it about a drummer? They say drummer. I said, say that again. You know, come on, I want to hear that, man. So I have a different feeling. However, if we have a conversation, then I can do whatever I can. If you're talking about when my son was born, man, and you know this very well, Jared, you know, you know this very well. We can't, I was saying, okay, my son's born. How do I raise this man to be a strong black man? I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And I got to participate in this, and I got to try this. But this elderly lady said, if you raise your son to be a strong black man, and you try to be busy with the other folks, then you might miss out on raising your son to be that strong black man. If you raise one strong black man, you have one, as opposed to trying to flock out and go out and go crazy, because I'm not strong enough and I'm not smart enough, you know, to try to help maybe 100 to 1,000. Now, I will do that. Don't get me wrong. I will do that. But I can't leave my son hanging. It's very important that I try to raise him. So raise him to be the strongest man he could possibly be. Now, that's me with the drums and Whiplash. I really can't be, if you got from the movie, not saying you shared it, but if the person got from the movie, oh, it's only Buddy Rich, you lost, man. You lost. Because, like, we have so much around us. I mean, this generation, they have YouTube, Google, whatever, Wikipedia. We didn't have any of that. We had to go to the library, you know, and pick out a book and study. So, and we like, well, so what's that? Like, the dominoes fell, and like, so the next one, what do I pick up? I pick up the next one. What's that next one? So, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, you have, if you think of just the younger generation, or maybe not just the younger generation, Billy Cobham. You think Billy Cobham. So who influenced Billy Cobham? Tony Williams. Who influenced Tony Williams? Jimmy Cobb, Billy Joe. Who influenced Billy Joe? Buddy Rich, ironically. Papa Joe Jones. Who influenced them? Zooey Singleton. Baby Dodds. You know, you just keep going. So it's right. And you lost if the young drummer in the household just picks out Buddy Rich and keeps it moving. You know, I can't really be concerned to tie in my son and the generation. I have to really focus in what I do. If you're in front of me and we're talking like we're talking now, I will try to hook you up and educate you. Well, there's more about drumming, just getting out of a car and making the competition, getting out, being able to be in the practice room and your hands bleed. It's more to that than that. More to it than that.
Billy,
if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Billy Kilson, I want to thank you very much for joining us here at I Mix What I Like. We greatly appreciate you. And I want to remind everybody to check out BillyKilson.com. Get those lessons. Get those albums. Billy Kilson's BK Groove, Rhythm Dancer, Pots and Pans. Check out his work with the Dave Holland Quintet and so much more. BillyKilson.com. Billy Kilson, thank you
and
very
you know
much
what,
for doing
and
it.
And thank you so much, Doc.
I Mix What I Like. What I Like. What I Like. What I Like. What I Like.